We are in this series on living life on purpose. So far in the series, we have shared, and I believe we've concluded, that God made us on purpose for purpose. We saw various passages that support that idea, that teach that principle. We particularly looked at Psalm 138:8, where God's handiwork, and then he doesn't abandon us, and Psalm 139, where again God knit us together with purpose for our lives. That plan, his plan for us, was that we were to live in a relationship with him and with others, and this is important, to bring him glory. But we have also seen that not only has God made us on purpose for purpose, we have seen that the church's purpose is to equip us to fulfill that purpose. It is to encourage us, to support us, to teach us, to build us up so that we might fulfill that purpose, that we might bring glory to God in a relationship with him and in our relationships with other people. Our connection to the body of Christ is to equip us to live our lives as our Creator intended. Now we're going to take that a step further today. If we're to glorify God, what's my part in that? In my individual personal responsibility for that, and in my relationship with the church, what's my part in that? What's your part in that? First, how do I personally fit into this church's purpose of being prepared and of preparing others in our gathering times to fulfill God's purpose? We talked about that being the purpose, but what's our individual, personal purpose in that? What is our role, responsibility in that? How do we go about finding our personal purpose in that situation? Now, we might think that it's easier for some people to discern that than others. And it might be easier for us to discern for others what their purpose, what their responsibility, what their role is in that. I mean, the praise team's purpose. We know what that is, right? It's to put together and sing a program of songs that I like. Not quite. Matter of fact, far from it. No, that's not their purpose. Praise team's purpose is to encourage us all to draw near to God, remember that? And to instill his truth in our hearts and minds, to equip us to live out again God's purpose in our lives. Now, so they do that very well, I believe. They pray over their choice of songs. And yes, so they rehearse to try to do it with the gifts God has given them. Their primary emphasis, I want to tell you, I know these sweet saints, that their purpose, their heart is to move you and your relationship with God, to draw closer to him. And again, to be inspired to go out and live out that purpose. I know that. Now the preacher's purpose, well, what's his job? Well, it's to prayerfully put together and present lessons to do the same thing, right? But same thing, that I'm supposed to be doing that. Trying to edify, encourage, inspire, you know, help you to draw near to God, help you then to apply what you learn and take it out there and live it out, right? It's supposed to be relevant. And that can be a task, to be honest. So that it's not just information that you're getting, but, you know, how do I apply this? How do I do that? And, of course, the preacher has to present a better lesson next week than this week. Top the last one. So that's the challenge. And, of course, the elders, what is their role? What is their purpose? Well, to oversee all that, to watch over all that, to make sure that the edifying, the building up of the saints is done. That's their purpose. That's their place, right? And the rest of us, well, we are just to show up and soak up as much as we can, right? Right? That's the rest of us. Just show up and soak up as much as you can. Sadly, that's what some feel their role is. Just show up and soak up as much as they can. But it goes beyond that. There is a responsibility, I do believe, to show up and to try to soak up. But there's more to it than that.
We have a responsibility to be involved in the process of equipping while we're here, not just soaking up, but also in what are we giving? What part do we have? What is our role? What are we doing to edify each other and equip each other? And again, we may feel like, once again, well, I do this or that. Maybe you have a servant's role. There are people who are outside of these immediate four walls or down the educational wing who are teaching and encouraging. Or there's people who work behind the scenes and not always in the limelight who are doing things that you don't even know about to prepare and get prepared for you so that you might be thoroughly equipped. There are people who work behind the scenes too. They're doing that. But again, they don't have that attitude, see, of just show up and soak up. They have the attitude of show up and serve. They have the attitude of show up and encourage, use whatever God gives me, you know, for the benefit of the body to do that. Consider for a moment, and this has been mentioned several times today, in reference to Hebrews 10:25 that we looked at last week, that we're to encourage one another in our assemblies. I want to challenge you about that, that what we are really to be is to be ministers. How many of you have had the idea, the concept, that the minister is the preacher or the pastor? He's the minister, you know, or maybe you have an associate pastor or a youth minister, but they're the ministers. They're the ones, right? I'm challenging you today to understand that you're all to be ministers. Every one of us are to be ministers, and we're just going to consider that single idea of encouraging one another to illustrate this, okay? How do we do that? How do we do that? How does each person do that? Because the instruction is for each of us, not just some, not just a few, not just those who are on staff, but for all to do that. How? Again, some may have a greater gift, we feel, in that regard, and Paul even talks about greater and lesser gifts in this regard. That some have gifts of prophecy, some have gifts to speak publicly to the Word of God, and some don't have that gift. But he really emphasizes, and go back over to Romans 12 as well, the idea that, look, whatever gift you have, and God's given us each one, at least one, is where to use it to serve. To serve and to use as God intends. So if you have a gift and you recognize it, and Paul would say, if you particularly have a gift, say to preach or to proclaim to God, then by all means use it. But he would emphasize that all of us have gifts and we're to use them. So for the idea of encouraging, we can all do that. Some have a special gift for it, but we are all challenged to do it. A kind word, a smile, a hug, a handshake, a verbal expression of appreciation or love. We can all do that. We can all encourage that way. Some are more outgoing than others about that, but we can all do it on some level. Can we not? Should we not be doing that? Absolutely we should. You could say something like, good to see you today. Now that should move you too far out of your comfort zone, but you could do that. You could say, glad you could be here this morning. Glad you're here. Your presence is a blessing. I missed you. Not in a way that's criticizing that you haven't been here for a while, but I truly have missed you. I'm glad you're here. How are you doing? Oh, that's taking a little further, isn't it? How are you doing? How's work going? How's the family? How are you feeling? Remember, though, when you do that, to listen for their reply. Have any of you ever asked those kind of questions and just gone on? I found myself doing that several weeks ago. There was someone visiting with one of our members here. I said, hi, how are you? And turned right away and spoke to somebody, hi, how are you? And then it dawned on me, the Lord just, whoa, wait a minute. I turned back to this person. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I asked him, how are you? How are you? But you know, we do that sometimes casually. Just, are we really asking because we want to know? Or is it just a kind of a greeting? If we asked,
wait for an answer to do that. Do you know that listening to someone can be one of the best ways to encourage them? Especially if they feel like they have no one to talk to throughout the week. That they don't have anyone who seems to care or that will give them the attention, you know, for them to share. So that really, really is a ministry to listen to people, to ask them how they're doing and just listen. And also, try to recall what they last shared with you. Maybe you asked them last week how they were doing and they said, well, I've got these tests coming up. Or I've got this situation in my family. Or I'm struggling with this. And they share something with you. Oh, well, follow up with that. It might be now more personal. How's your mom doing? How's work going? Again, how's that new job? Did you get that sorted out, that situation, that problem you have? How are you doing with that recent law? Follow up. Think about it when people have done that with you. Do you find that encouraging? Do you feel like they generally care? Well, I'm going to have to take notes. Well, mental notes at least. Prayerful notes at least. To be able to respond that way. And then see, what will really help with that is not just you ask them that question, you hear the answer, and you say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you. But yes, pray for them. Pray for them. Carry them with you and their thing that they present to you, that they brought to you. Carry that with you. Yes, and be praying about it, be thinking about it. And again, maybe don't even wait till next week to check back with them. Earlier in Hebrews, the Holy Spirit spoke through the writer saying in chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, see to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another, listen, daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now think about that. Daily. That's just Sunday then, right? No, he didn't say weekly. Once a month? No, daily. Encourage one another daily. Well, how in the world are you going to do that? Especially if you don't have any daily interaction with them. But you don't necessarily see them every day. How do you do that? What an option for them. I always try to think, what would they do? How would they live that out? How would they flesh that out? Because that's what he's wanting us to do, at least in principle. They didn't have the conveniences of telephone, email, and Facebook. They didn't have those. They would maybe had to make some personal visits if they were local. If they were going to encourage them daily, or they were going to have to see them in the marketplace, or again, remember, the early church was meeting more frequently than most of us do. And so they would have had more opportunity that way through their interaction. But we can use these conveniences. We can. Well, actually, I talked to a man this past week who said, I don't use any of that stuff. I think it's of the devil. It certainly has been abused in a lot of horrible ways, but it can be used in a lot of good ways. I say, let's take it and redeem it, folks, right? Let's use it positively. Let's do that. And encourage one another daily. Think about how you can do that. Reaching out, contacting people. You know, not waiting again. So the idea of doing that. See, so it's not just what happens in here, but what happens in here equips us for out there. See, through the week. Encourage one another here with the idea of that being a lifestyle of encouraging people. Better than making the calls. Arrange to meet for coffee or a meal. How many of you know there's benefit in just hanging out with people sometimes who you know care? Just spending some time with them. But better than just spending time together, having a spiritual conversation with believers is very, very important. Arrange to go on a walkie-talkie. And in other words, not just a walk. The walk's good, but plan on there being conversation. In this cold weather, where's a good place to do that? Well, maybe the mall. Or maybe if really a situation calls for it, it would be good is meet them at the gym. Do some walking on a treadmill there, talking, or spending some time together to do that. The rest of the year, a stroll in the park's nice. Or meeting in the park, you know, to talk. Once more, being mindful, though, of the purpose for this. Just to be having a social event. We just go beyond that, right? We have a call
to minister to people, to encourage them. And to encourage them, we need to invest time. And don't forget that the primary sphere of influence to do this so often outside the church is where? It's your family, friends. It's your neighbors. It's your co-workers. Do they need encouraged? Do they need to know that people care? Do they need to know that you care? And in that caring, that exchange, what do we want to do? Point them to the God who cares so much. He sent Jesus. So encourage them. Now last week I also shared that the mission of the church is to prepare us to be missionaries. Well, a lot of folks want to balk at that. Wait a minute. It's only to be a missionary because missionaries, they go to foreign fields, right? And they're those trained professionals again, right? Not biblically. We are to be each seeing ourselves on mission. We have a mission. God has a purpose, and part of that purpose is mission. It's a primary purpose. Share God's truth with others. The more time we spend in God's Word and have it confirmed in our spirit, see that equipping through our interaction, and so, be it through proclamation or praise or both, the more we realize the benefits, the blessings of our relationship with God in Christ. And the more that's the case, the more we'll talk about it with our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. And though we tend to discount it sometimes, you know, we think, again, the most effective missionaries are the professionals. That's not generally the case. Rick Warren puts it this way. Unbelievers see preachers as salesmen. They see other believers as satisfied customers. A lot of truth in that, I believe. I've talked often about the power of personal testimony, of telling people what God has done for you, how He's made a difference in your life, what difference He is making, about the hope, about the confidence you have in Him because of Jesus, and of your hope for the future because of Jesus, and your ability to cope with the present because of Jesus. That's the most powerful testimony, sharing what God has done in your life, and no one, again, can do that better than you. I think it's interesting that other than the Great Commission, there's an absence of direct commands to evangelize the world. I mean, if you look through the letters of Paul, there's not these direct commands of saying, Christians, go out there and share your faith. Go out there and tell people about Jesus. We spent some time about sharing faith and even examining that passage in Philemon that's translated that way, about sharing your faith. It was really about living out your life. It wasn't about preaching, per se. It wasn't about that. And there's very little command or instruction about doing that to the early church. And I wonder why. I wonder how in the world they managed to evangelize the world the way they did when they didn't have this command telling them, get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. What's going on there? Because they did. They turned the world upside down. And they did it without pocket New Testaments or Bible apps. They did it without classes and seminars. They did it without located preachers and fixed places of worship. The good news spread like wildfire in the early church. What was motivating that? And who in the world was sharing? Everybody. Everywhere they went, they were sharing of what God had done for them in Jesus. Even those who feel inadequate tell others good news, don't they? That satisfied customer again, when you really have something in your life that's blessed you, that you tell others about it. You do that quite naturally. You don't have to be told to do that, commanded to do that. You're not doing it for a discount or extra merit on your next purchase. You do it because, wow, I want others to know about what I found, about what a blessing, what a help, what incredibly great benefits this is in my life. You want to tell people. So even those who feel inadequate, see, they tell others good news. In Ephesians 3, 8 through 11, Paul wrote, although I'm less than the least of God's people, now it's Apostle Paul talking, he said, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. And then in verse 10 it says, his intent was that now through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his what? Eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, look at that. Paul saw the charge to share the good news about Jesus as a privilege. He even called it a grace. This grace has been given to me. And he clearly says here, it's God's eternal purpose that the church wasn't merely to financially support him to do it, but the church was to be doing it themselves. See, that idea through the church isn't that through the assembly of the church. Because notice, you're to be making that wisdom known abroad. Not just here, but abroad. And that's, see, through the church, well, who's the church? It's you. And that's God's eternal purpose. See, it's not a command, but it's saying that's his purpose. Do you believe the world would benefit from knowing his eternal purpose? You think the world would benefit from knowing he has purpose for each individual as well? I certainly do. These past several days, you know, after the horrible tragedy again in Florida, it happens each time, there's always talk about the need for legislation, rules, regulations. Let's change the laws, let's make more laws, let's make more rules, let's make more regulations. And I am not saying I'm not in favor of doing some of that. I think it could be beneficial. But having said that, legislation, laws, rules, regulations never change hearts. We got a heart problem. We have problems deep within the hearts and minds of some people. There's only one cure, and it's not under the law. It's Jesus, the good news of Jesus. That's the only hope this world has. And we are to be the ones shedding light on that hope. Earlier I mentioned that some Christ followers see their role as just showing up to soak up whatever they can, right? But you ever notice something? Even sponges, what they soak up tends to come out, doesn't it? And the more they soak up, the more flows out, right? But I'm afraid that some believers, they want to be wrung out somehow. Going to have to wring it out of me, but that's not the idea, is it? The idea is, yes, soak it up, but take it out and let it flow. Let it pour out in this world. We need to do that. We need to be equipped here to go out and make a difference there. Yes, soak it up, but not just to hold it in, but for it to pour out, to flow out, to make a difference in this world. The world needs refreshed. The world needs cleansed. The world needs purified. The world needs Jesus is what it needs. So soak up as much Jesus as you can here. But for what purpose? Don't be waiting for something to happen to wring it out of you. Soak it up and let it flow. In the Apostle Peter's words in the fourth chapter of his first letter to believers, he said, the end of all things is near. So, he says, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then he says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering, that's how you administering, God's grace in its various forms. He even goes on to say, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You see that? When we're speaking the Word of God, when we're serving with what strengths and abilities God gives us in the world, Jesus Christ is praised. God is praised. Then he adds this short doxology. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, okay, Pastor Steve, I hear you. But if you're saying that my personal purpose is to minister to believers and be a missionary to unbelievers, then I'm not really interested in that. What else you got for me to do? What else does God want me to do? Well, there may be a lot of little tributaries off of this, but this is it. This is really it. And I would be grieved
to hear any believer say, I'm not interested in ministering to saints, and I'm not interested in being a missionary in this world. I'd be grieved by that. But I think a lot of folks have kind of bought into that mindset with the whole idea of the clergy lady system. That's the clergy's job, not mine. Yeah, we have a job, and our job is to inspire you and encourage you to minister and be missionaries in this world. Peter asked for an amen by the end of his doxology, which literally means let it be so. Let it be so. So, for whatever you think your purpose might be, I pray that you will be praying. That you will see that whatever you think your purpose is, if it doesn't fit into the purpose of ministering and being a missionary in this world, then it's not aligned with God's purpose for you. But if we embrace His calling, He's going to open our eyes to a whole new vista of what life is really all about. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for you loving us and caring for us so deeply, that you would send your son Jesus. I want to thank you for your revelation to us about your plan and purpose for us. And none of it is to harm us or our Father to cause us, again, pain, but it is to help us to really realize and recognize where true fulfillment in life is. It's a relationship with you that looks to you for the grace and strength and mercy and ability to live out our lives the way that they're supposed to be lived. Lives that are loving and caring and compassionate, but that are encouraging and strengthening one another and Father, then going out into this world and taking your love, your grace, your mercy to everyone who can. Father, I pray you might instill within us just what a blessing it is, what an honor it is that you would choose to use us. Use us for that purpose. Paul called it being a vessel with great treasure inside. And you are giving us this great treasure, not for us to hoard, for us to share with the world. The great treasure of a relationship with you that's forever and ever in Christ. Thank you, God. Move us to be not only willing to accept the challenge, but to recognize we'll never be up to the challenge unless we're constantly looking to you to equip us through your church.